Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Prasky. 1 year into his term as mayor and CEO of Wyandotte County, Mark Holland is singing the praises of a part of the metro that continues to enjoy a booming economic renaissance. In his first State of the Government address yesterday, Holland talked about the nearly $1 billion in capital investment that was made in the county last year and the 6,000 jobs that have come about over the past 5 years. But with the good news comes challenges. Many of those 6,000 jobs were filled by residents from outside Wyandotte County because WICO citizens sometimes lack the necessary job skills. And while western Wyandotte booms, much of the eastern side of the county drifts. Today, a conversation with KCK's mayor about all of this and a whole lot more. And Mayor Mark Holland, so good to have you back. Welcome.
Thanks, Steve. It's good to be here.
Well, you're 1 year in. Is the time flying by or is it crawling by?
It's doing both. I mean, there are days that I look up and the clock's over, and other days that it's moving super slow. But by and large, it's been a good experience. There's so many great things going on in Kansas City, Kansas right now in Wyandotte County that there's enough to keep us busy.
I was going to say, I mean, is it too much? Is the load of being mayor, does it swamp you at times, or is it manageable?
Well, the first 6 months, I told everyone it felt like I was drinking out of a fire hose. I mean, just stuff coming at you all the time. Certainly,
I think
the novelty.
Joe Reardon once said that once upon a time.
What's that?
I think Joe Reardon once said that.
No, I think so. And there's no question that there's a lot of stuff really managing the calendar, managing the personal time. Burning up doesn't do anyone any good. So finding that balance, I think that's true in a lot of careers, certainly true in the mayor's office.
What do you enjoy most about being mayor?
I continue to enjoy it. It's the same thing I enjoyed about the campaign trail and same thing I enjoyed about being on the commission. The opportunity to visit all parts of our community, meet all the different people. Wyandotte County has such a rich diversity of people and so many great cultures, so many great opportunities. The opportunity just to get out and spend time in the community with people and to learn from them and to share together that vision of what our community can be and where we want to go. So there's no question the people is the greatest part of it.
I'm betting there's probably been a place or two you've never been before since in Wyandotte County since after you became mayor.
It's so true. In fact, I've run countywide 3 times. I was an at-large commissioner, elected in 07 and 11, and then mayor in 13. And running 3 countywide campaigns, every election there's a neighborhood group or a place that I'd never been before. Yeah. And remarkable, and I'm hoping that list is getting smaller and smaller, but we're certainly trying to cover the whole community.
And what's the hardest part of being mayor, Mark?
I think it's just that the balance and staying on focus. As I went through the campaign, obviously the priorities of the campaign, the priorities of my transition team, the strategic planning of the commission, of staying focused. There are so many distractions in a community. There's so many distractions in any job. But staying committed to economic development, innovation, healthy communities, those are the priorities. And I've got to turn everything we're doing to push those forward, because those are the places I think as mayor I can make the most difference.
You know, you're also a pastor, but I know you've cut back on your duties at your church. How many hours a week are you working as mayor? How many hours a week are you the Reverend Mark Holland, although I assume that you're always the Reverend Mark Holland. I get that, but you get my drift.
Well, I have 2 jobs where you're always something. You're always the pastor. You're always the mayor, whether you're at the grocery store or whenever the phone rings. So I have cut back. I do get to preach every Sunday and at Trinity Community Church, 51st and Parallel. We have a great Facebook presence, actually, where all my messages are online for my sermon at Trinity KCK throughout my plug there. But I do that on Sunday, but I've turned over the rest of it to my team, and I have a great team of largely retired pastors who do the administrative piece and they do the pastoral care. And I probably miss the pastoral care the most. I don't miss the administration as much, but I do miss the pastoral care. And that's probably the hardest thing to do, but it's going well. I would say overall it's going well.
You know, is it hard to go to the grocery store?
Well, it's kind of fun sometimes. I mean,
sometimes,
you know, I was just at a Subway, actually. I was getting a sandwich at Subway and in KCK, and this is new for me because as a pastor, you know, you're out in the community, people recognize you, but every single person at the Subway recognized me and greeted me. And one guy really had a great issue. You know, he's like, you know, it's the middle of the snowstorm, and he said, my street, we don't have off-street parking, so we have to park in the street, and they're issuing tickets. We don't have a place to go. We're right by a school, so it's a school zone, so we can't park. And I just, it was just fascinating to listen to him. And he didn't recognize me when I walked in, but when he heard other people greet me, he thought, man, this is my chance. And it was great. You know, it's great to have that ground-level interaction, because we see how the snow removal's going from the ninth floor.
Yeah.
And to just talk to somebody who's living it, you know, there's no substitute for that. So really a great conversation.
We're visiting with Wyandotte County Mayor and CEO Mark Holland. Let's go to your State of the Government speech yesterday, Mayor. You talked about the nearly $1 billion in capital investment that came to the county just last year alone. That's a lot of money. I mean, what did that money do?
Well, it's unbelievable. I mean, if you think about in the heat of the recession, 09, 10, 11, when economies were standing still across the country, we were ranked, I believe, eighth nationally in the county as a county in overall economic development. That's when we were building the stadium, building Cerner. KU was building their cancer institute, building this. All the different things out west were going on during that recession, paying prevailing wage. This last round of economic development is really building on that. I mean, the bulk of that $1 billion was a $600 million investment by General Motors in their paint plant.
Yeah.
General Motors has invested nearly $2 billion in the last decade in the Fairfax plant, really making it a state-of-the-art plant, and largely because of the caliber of workers we have there. The United Auto Workers do a fantastic job and really have set a standard for development of cars. It's drawing a lot of new manufacturers to Fairfax that are going to support that industry.
Where else did the money go?
Continued investment around the county, frankly. PQ Industries is a chemical maker, an international chemical maker, right off I-70 that's been in our community forever. And the low-profile group, they're investing $20 or $30 million in their plant. KU's build-out continues. Obviously, the growth in that industry, particularly with the Cancer Institute, is huge. Continued growth really in all sectors. We've had manufacturing probably is our biggest right now, which is great because we're seeing that renaissance nationwide, and we're really on the front end of that. But also multifamily housing. I mean, this is big. And people in other parts of the region don't think about it, but in Kansas City, Kansas, Wyandotte County, we have built the first two market rate apartment complexes in 30 years. And that
build-out is tremendous.
Big step forward, absolutely.
And even things like grocery stores in some neighborhoods have been very, very significant for the county.
Absolutely. We joke a lot. We had a study by Associated Wholesale Grocers, and it turns out folks in Wyandotte County do buy groceries.
Imagine that.
They just aren't buying them in our community. And we've built five new grocery stores in Wyandotte County, all public-private partnerships. That are really an asset. And you think about a grocery store, it's more than just a place to shop. A grocery store is really an anchor for other retail outlets.
Yeah.
It's an anchor for a neighborhood. It helps retain people to keep them from moving out, and it helps draw people in.
Yeah.
So it's hard to overstate the value of a grocery store, not only from an economic development perspective, but also from a healthy living perspective.
Well, what's the grocery store near the Reverend Rick Barron's church, not far from there, on 18th Street?
That's right, 18th and I-70. So if you remember that corner, 18th and I-70, it was an old truck stop and hotel, and we use both of those terms loosely. I mean, it was about as—
A lot of bad stuff going on.
Bad stuff, drugs, prostitution, it was a disaster. And we could have pushed that over and put it to corn and improved our community. But really a progressive public-private partnership that came in and said, we're going to take away that blight and that activity and put in a grocery store, brought in other ancillary businesses, a gas station, fast food restaurants, other sit-down restaurants. Really, a lot of businesses have grown. Overwhelming the response. The biggest regret is that grocery store is built too small.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's too small. That's the point of where I was going there. They wish now they had built it bigger. It's been such a hit. And are they going to expand it?
I think they're looking at it. The challenge is, of course, it's a tight land.
Yes.
It would have been designed. But they could have been 20% bigger. But if you've been in there, it's a thriving place. And it's really the United Nations. I mean, that's what I love about my community. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody shops there. And that's the kind of urban development that our own folks are using and value and spending money at, and it's good for the whole community.
You know, Mayor, this notion that $1 billion got spent in WICO last year, I don't have much perspective on that number. Is that a high number? Is that a record? Do you have any, can you put it in context at all?
It's an astonishing number.
Well, I get that.
No, but it is. It's, if you think about
is it more than the year before? Is it a record? Or
it was more than the year before, but it was less than 2 or 3 years ago when we were spending a couple billion dollars. I mean, if you think about the growth that we've had, and I could have brought that. I could have brought a chart for you for that because I don't want to misspeak.
Yeah.
But in terms of the context, I think any community in the country would be thrilled with $1 billion of economic development. It's pretty unprecedented.
Okay. What's on tap for this year when it comes to economic development? And I assume there may be some things you can't reveal, and I get that. But in general terms, are you expecting the same kind of billion-dollar investment this year, or do you have a feel for that yet?
I do have a feel for it. I would be surprised. And, you know, when $600 million of that $1 billion came from a single project,
yes,
at General,
okay,
Motors, I'm ready for that next project.
Yeah.
It's not on the books yet. I haven't seen it. What we're seeing is the continued outgrowth of manufacturing. A lot of suppliers for General Motor are coming back to Fairfax.
Mm-hmm.
And we have heavy rail there. There's a lot of opportunity there. We are going to see some transition at our intermodal. The intermodal build out at Gardner, I think, is going to be good for the whole region. I think in the short run, it might be challenging for us because we have a smaller intermodal in KCK. The housing, the multifamily housing, I think you're going to continue to see. Everyone that I've talked to has said multifamily is going to boom first before single family comes back at full speed.
Mm-hmm.
And we're certainly seeing that. We've opened market rate downtown. We've opened market rate out west. And there's a lot more market rate multifamily on the books. One of the ones out by the Legend just offered, they're going to double their footprint.
Hmm.
They've had such high demand that they're going to double it. So I think you're going to see multifamily housing continue to grow. I think you're going to see manufacturing sector continue to grow. The other there's two other industries. One is office. We've never been in the office market. I mean, we've just Kansas City, Missouri, and Johnson County have really owned the office market. We're finally seeing it. And I think Cerner's a big kickstart to that. Their Class A office around the Legends is big. We also want to get some office downtown. I think there's some opportunities for office downtown.
Is the EPA building occupied now, or is it still empty?
Not yet. Fortunately, they're still paying taxes, but we'd rather them paying taxes and full.
It's
a great – and it's in great shape. I mean, one of the challenges in urban areas is when someone leaves a building, they don't leave it in good shape. The EPA is still in excellent shape. It's 200,000 square feet. And we have some bites on that. I'm hoping that we'll be able to announce something early this year in terms of who's going to take that over. But that's big to stabilizing our whole downtown. So the EPA building is still there. But office is going to continue to grow, particularly in out west and downtown. The other sector that is really interesting is the tech sector, which really we've never been – and the Midwest has not been where the coasts have been. And I think with the Google build out, our startup village – the opportunities for innovation, that's really an area that I want to make sure we're on the cutting edge, particularly as we do more green industry. I want to make sure some of the industry we're bringing into Fairfax is going to be some green industry to support, whether it's solar or wind or other opportunities. There's great opportunity for growth in tech.
The mayor's in the house. The mayor of Wyandotte County, Mark Holland, is with us. If you have questions for Mark, 816-235-2888, our email address, update@kcur.org. You can tweet us @kcurupdate. Again, our number here for Mayor Mark Holland, 816-235-2888. What about the Google Fiber thing? Has that project been what you hoped it would be? You know, other cities now are coming online with Google Fiber. The opportunity in terms of being first starting to dissipate here just a little bit. Has it been what you hoped it would be?
Well, it certainly has. It certainly has in a lot of ways. It's been some of what we had hoped for, but a lot has been surprising.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, I think the competition's been good in the community just for the online services as well as the cable TV services. But the internet is unbelievable. I mean, I have it at my house. The amazing thing,
thing to have for a mayor, Mark.
No, it is. I'm telling you.
And
it's unbelievable. The download speed is crazy. But the other thing that people don't realize, it's not asymmetrical like regular broadband.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same speed up. So you can upload pictures and videos as fast as you can download them at a gigabyte speed. It's unprecedented. The wireless is only 300 megs at my house, but that's astonishing as well. So it's really been good from a personal use as well as the community impact it's had. The surprising use has been, of course, Startup Village and the draw it's had nationwide of people coming in, recognizing the asset. In some ways, the tech industry recognizes the asset more than we have locally, and our message has been we've got to continue to get that word out. The Google also offers the biggest move forward we've had in closing the digital divide in our community.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, and I've said this during the campaign repeatedly, but internet no longer is a luxury. It's a utility. Job opportunities are online. Very few jobs do you fill out a paper application anymore. Educational opportunities are online. Health opportunities are online. The internet is becoming ubiquitous, and we need to make sure that we're guiding our community so that everybody has that same access. All of our school kids can do their homework online.
So what kind of access has come from Google Fiber? Are your schools all wired? Is KU Med wired now? And what about the eastern side of the county where some poorer folks live? Are they getting wired, or and are they actually closing the digital divide here, Mark, or not?
I think we are. I mean, it's a slow process. I mean, Google has not finished the build out in Kansas City, Kansas. The main arteries are through, but in terms of the tapping each home, they're not quite done yet, but they're making progress. And our entire city went green. I mean, we didn't miss an area. So, and every school is eligible. So the build out to the schools is coming. And of course, the schools have a challenge because they used to bring in gigabyte to the main headquarters, filter it, and then send out a slower stream to each of the schools.
Oh.
Well, now they've got a fire hose coming into every single school, and they've got to put the filters on every school. They've got to get their own tech.
Filters up to slow it down? Or
No,
or?
No, to clean it up.
I see.
Because,
okay.
You know, there's some things that school children ought not be looking at. There's things all of us ought not be looking at.
Yeah, right.
And so they need to filter that out and make it safe for the kids to use. But that's coming in full bandwidth. They have to multiply their filters to every school, which is a challenge, but they're up to it and they're going to get it done.
Is there a promise here of taking Google Fiber into some of those poor neighborhoods? What was the promise and what do you expect to happen?
Well, the promise was that it would be available to every neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more than we can say for the cable companies. I mean, there are areas that the cable companies don't serve. That's true in Kansas City, Missouri, as well as Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah.
If they don't feel like they can make money, there's not a reason to go to it. The difference is Google put the infrastructure into every neighborhood. And so every neighborhood that went green, every citizen in that neighborhood has the opportunity. And when you think about for $300 or $25 a month.
Depending on what package you get.
Depending on what package. But you can get 5 megs, which is regular broadband speed, basically for free for 7 years after a $300 installment. That is the biggest, best offer anybody's ever offered in an urban area, and that has made a difference. Now, what we're also doing is they also launched a digital divide fund, which is going out and offering not-for-profits some funding to teach people how to use a computer, how to get the resource, how to utilize the internet.
Yeah.
And so that's been a big part of it as well. But wait, I think it is making a difference.
Is the city equipped to, you know, provide grants to folks, to poorer folks, to actually bring Google Fiber into their homes, Mark, or is that just not in the cards?
Well, there's philosophical issues about it that you run into. I mean, I think it's something we'd love to do.
About helping a private company, you mean?
Right. Helping a private company and also and then you get into if we were going to provide money for Google, we would need to provide it perhaps for other providers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of it becomes a slippery slope when we get involved at that level.
Okay. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, Mayor Mark Holland, the CEO and mayor of Wyandotte County, is with us today. Let's go to some calls and go to James from Kansas City, Kansas. James, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I want to ask the mayor, why do we always look in the paper and see all these backtackers from business and individual and never collect it? I can't understand why they're not collected. Business keep operating.
Yeah. James, thank you. And Mayor, you talked about back taxes being a huge problem for Wyandotte County.
Well, James, you are spot on. And there are two general categories where back taxes are an issue. One is the hard-working folks who are having trouble making ends meet. and they're living in their homes and they're trying to make decisions. We've got people in Kansas City, Kansas making a decision about which bill to pay. And they're trying to decide between their utility bill, their tax bill, their mortgage, they're looking at their food bill. You have a small percentage of ours are just hardworking folks, and those are the folks that we need to make sure we have compassion with, we're working with, we're setting up a plan with, and giving them an opportunity to stay in their home and be successful where they are, making sure they're getting the opportunity to work.
What is the back tax liability in Waco right now?
Again,
I've seen the number.
It's big.
Yeah, it's big.
The issue, though, the vast majority, James, and I think this is the number that is the most upsetting to me, the vast majority of our back taxes are absentee landlords. And the absentee landlord is the bane of urban America. You can talk to anybody anywhere across the country. And the absentee landlords who come in and use up our property and bail on it constitute the vast bulk. The challenge we have is a lot of these properties, the value of the property is lower than the amount of taxes owed on it. And we have a very aggressive land bank program that, but right now we have kind of what I would call land bank 101. We need to go to land bank 201 because right now we don't take structures. But James, you're absolutely right. And when you look at those, a lot of those landowners are living in big houses in other parts of the region and the country, and they don't care about our city, and they're milking our city and not being good corporate or private citizens in taking care of their property.
What do you do about pursuing absentee landlords, Mayor? How do you get those guys to pay up?
Well, you've got to take them to tax sale. And there's some, Representative Fraunfelter in Wyandotte County has some bills pending right this legislative session to the Kansas legislature to say, let us get to them faster. Because one of the things, if you have a house sit empty, and you talk about the tragedy, homelessness of a family without a home, there's a on a smaller scale in terms of the level of tragedy, but impact on the community, a house without a family is falling down. And so when you have abandoned structures and you have state law that keeps us from 3 years before we can get our hands on it, 3 years of water leakage through a roof destroys a home. And now you don't have a home. You have a building that has to be demolished.
Yeah.
So getting the state law addressed, there are some state law changes that would be very effective in moving us forward to get our hands on them sooner. But when you also have a largely libertarian state government, the government coming in and taking private property is not well received.
Yeah.
We want to differentiate. The vast majority of the properties we need to get our hands on are vacant with absentee landlords. You know, if you live in New Jersey and you have a portfolio of 47 properties across the country and one of them's in our community, you've never been here, you don't care about it, you bought a portfolio, we should be able to get a hold of that property before it collapses, because once it collapses, that private property owner by state law walks away.
Yeah.
Every dollar of their taxes, they could be a millionaire living somewhere. We can't go after their personal wealth for those back taxes. We can only take it out of that property, and it takes us 3 years to do it. So explanation, not excuse. It's a legitimately challenging issue, but we're all over it. And we've got commissioners, and we've got other citizens, other not-for-profit groups working actively on this to make this right.
Let me ask about politics for a moment. You just mentioned there's one representative has some bills pending in Topeka. You know, Wyandotte County, Kansas City, Kansas is sort of the capital of Democratic Kansas.
And, amen.
You know, and the Kansas legislature, of course, is dominated by Republicans. I'm just wondering, how much love do you get from the Republican-controlled legislature in Topeka when it comes to issues that are very important to Wyandotte County, like the one you just outlined?
Well, I think what is interesting is we've found there's a lot of synergy between some rural issues and the what's happening in rural communities and what's happening in urban areas in terms of abandoned properties and depopulation. So it's really, we could spend a week talking about our differences, but I think identifying the things we have in common and reaching out to the legislature saying, hey, you have this same challenge in your community. How can we work together to come up with a solution that's going to benefit rural Kansas and urban Kansas? And if we don't have a similarity, is there a way that you can give us local control that we can handle our issues, because there are issues in Wyandotte County that are just unique across the state? And so I think the looking to the state as a partner, and you know, it's challenging the states, and it's not just Democrats that are struggling with the politics at the state. I mean, a lot of Republicans are struggling with the state government right now. But by and large, finding those synergies where we can reach out to the state and say, hey, these are common problems we all need to work on together.
Yeah. Let's do this, Mark. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our very good conversation here with the mayor and CEO of Wyandotte County. His name is Mark Holland. We'll take your phone calls at 816-235-2888. We'll talk a little bit more about finances. We'll talk about the county commission, and we'll talk about jobs and crime. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. If you missed our conversation yesterday about rail development in Jackson County, where our chat with singer and dream girl Jennifer Holliday, you can find those at kcur.org. Tomorrow on the show, what's it like to be a minority in America when it comes to religion? We'll talk about issues that Jews and Muslims face in a Christian-majority country. Plus, Brian McTavish is back with your weekend to-do list. This hour, we're visiting with the mayor and CEO of Wyandotte County, Mark Holland. You know, Mark, we were talking in the first half about the 6,000 jobs that have been created in Wyandotte over the last 4 or 5 years. But there's a problem, and it's something you talked about in your speech yesterday, which is that many of your residents apparently aren't qualified for those jobs. What can you do about that? How big of an issue is this?
Well, workforce development is the buzzword that gets thrown around nationwide, but it's a real word. I mean, the workforce development is fundamental because the economy is changing. I mean, there used to be a day when you could come out of high school ready to work, and there were high-paying manufacturing jobs. There were high-paying manual jobs. You know, even when I was in junior high, this is how old I am, Steve. You know, in junior high, we had industrial arts, and so you
so
could,
did I.
And so you could start learning about whether you're going to work with your hands or whether you're going to work in the books. Right in school, and you could start making those career choices.
It took me about 22 seconds to realize I was headed for books and not a shop class. I was awful in that stuff.
Well, good call.
I used to really sweat over it, and I was really bad. Yeah.
Well, and I think that and the other reality is those jobs now, those manufacturing jobs are tech jobs. Because the jobs have changed, our workforce development has to change. And, you know, I talked about yesterday a great program that District 500 is piloting with called Diploma Plus. And that's a program where they want every child to graduate from high school with a diploma plus either 30 hours of college credit that they earn concurrently while they're in high school, or a professional certificate. Now, our community college has one of the best tech centers. KCK Community College has one of the best tech centers anywhere. I'd put it up anywhere in the world. Hmm. And the state currently has a program where if you're in high school, they will pay the student's tuition to be in that tech program and provide their transportation.
Wow.
And so you can go while you're in high school. Our kids, while they're in high school, they can participate in learning to be a heating and air conditioning engineer. They can learn to weld. They can learn to do beauty and beauty salon care. They can learn to do child care. They can learn cooking and chef skills. There's about 15 or 20 programs.
How popular is that over there?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it's big. And we have people from all over the region coming. I mean, it's not just – we have folks – obviously, it's big for KCK residents, but we have folks from Johnson, Leavenworth, Jackson County coming over because of the skill development. And one of the biggest challenges they were talking about with their HVAC is trying to get the kids to graduate, because they get 1 year under their belt or one semester under the belt, and the companies are so thirsty for these skills. Wow. They're hiring them without the certificate.
But there's still a lag, though, it sounds like.
There is.
You can't – the jobs that are being filled in WICO in many cases are coming from outside of the county.
That's right. So you take a Cerner, you know, there's a whole other job skill set. You know, I talked to the school district about, and I mentioned this with when Mozilla was unveiling their grant program in Kansas City, Missouri. I'd really like to see coding being taught in our schools as a foreign language. It's certainly foreign to me. You know, computational thinking is complicated, but there's a way to start teaching children the earlier the better. I want our kids to lead the nation in tech skills. You also look at KU. You know, I don't want KU just to look at our residents for the support jobs. Mm-hmm. I want the doctors and nurses coming out and the other healthcare professionals. I mean, it's a broad base of support over there. There are great jobs at KU that I want to make sure our kids are in line for. And a lot of it is just growing people's horizon. Now, the other thing I mentioned in my State of the Government is that I want the unified government to lead the way in making sure we're hiring our own folks. And there's a challenge right now. I mean, our several of our departments, I highlighted the fire department, but it's certainly not unique to them. You know, their last group of 42 hires, there's not one African-American in that group, not one woman in that group. And if we were hiring local folks, it'd be diverse default. But 75% of the folks came from outside. I want to know, for our public safety especially, why aren't our kids tuned up for those jobs? Why aren't they excited? These jobs start at half again the median household income in Kansas City, Kansas.
Wow.
Why aren't our citizens fired up about those jobs?
Yeah.
And so the District 500 is interested, and our community college is a huge partner in training for police and fire. They want to do a public safety academy in the high school.
Yeah.
Where we're getting that in front of kids as an option, letting kids know there's a great job, a great way to raise your family and serve your community.
Well, to what extent are young people hanging around Wyandotte County, or is that an issue?
Well, it's generationally, it's been an issue for the last generation.
Yeah.
When we were losing population for 30 years, people were leaving our community, and a lot of that was related to job opportunity.
Yeah.
Because of the growing jobs, the growing housing options, the growing redevelopment, we're seeing a lot of kids coming back to our community because it is a great place to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this this training that kids can get, if they know that they can get both the training and the job opportunity in their community, they're going to stay here and raise their family.
Let's go back to some phone calls for Mayor and CEO Mark Holland of Wyandotte County. Jack from Kansas City, Missouri, you're on the air. Good to have you, Jack.
Thank you. Mark, I have a couple of comments for you. I am a landlord, have been since 1970 in both Kansas City, Kansas and Kansas City, Missouri. And I never have a problem with keeping my properties up, but I know that there are some landlords that don't, but I can almost guarantee you that there are more landlords that keep their properties up. And as a matter of fact, some of us buy distressed properties from individuals who have not kept them up, who never get inspected, just so that we can protect our own rentals. And I just want that said.
All right.
That's a valid point, Jack.
Thank you. Hey, what was your other point, Jack?
Oh, my other point is why not inspect private properties as well as rental properties, because there are so many of them that the owners do not keep them up, and they have no reason to even try because nobody is out there calling anyone's attention to them.
What about inspecting private properties, Mark?
No, this is good. I want to say first, Jack, I think your point's spot on. I mean, there certainly are there are a lot of absentee landlords who don't live in our community and who do a great job taking care of their properties. Certainly, I should specify that. I will say you're not my target audience in that comment. I mean, the target audience are the folks who live all around the country who don't give a flip about our community. And you do, and I value your investment in our community and want you to continue to invest in our community because your investment matters. And providing quality places for our people to live, not everyone's going to own a home, and great rental options are important. So I appreciate the balance to your comment, and I share that view. But I'll tell you what, for every good absentee landlord, there are several who are not being helpful. And they give all of you a bad name. I could say the same thing about politicians, you know. There's some rotten ones out there who give all of us a bad name.
I just wrote about that last weekend. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Mark Collins, our guest. Crime is said to be at a 40-year low in Wyandotte County. What are the biggest issues that you're facing in the county right now, Mark? And why is crime down so low right now?
Well, crime's down for a couple of reasons. One, there's a national trend that's helping everyone with crime diminishing, violent crime diminishing across our country. And the other piece is we've got a great police department. I mean, we've got a group that is committed to making data-driven decisions about where to fight crime, where to target crime. Community policing is big, and it's a nationwide piece. I'd like to expand that community-wide policing is a paradigm shift. We have a community policing department. I think there's a lot of communities that have gone to a community policing model, not just a department, but the whole department is focused on community policing. But really that grassroots of recognizing that we can't just count on the police officers to fight crime. It's a community-wide effort of neighborhood watch groups. Our neighborhood groups in Kansas City, Kansas are engaged. They're active. They're involved with the police. And really have a great partnership. And so it's a community-wide effort that's brought it down. Of course, the number one correlate for violent crime, the the statistics I've seen have been between 90 and 95% of all violent crime in America, and certainly is true in our community, is drug related. And the correlation for poverty is high in that. You know, desperate people choose desperate means. And while the drug problem is metro wide, the poorer parts of our community tend to host the traffic. And certainly the money's coming in from all over the region, but the violence is happening in the poorer communities. And so attacking the drug problem is big, and we have targeted efforts that have made great strides, multi-jurisdictional work across state lines, across county lines. All the departments are working together to take on the drug traffic that flows so easily across the lines, and making sure that we're targeting that and making our community safer.
There was a lot of talk in the campaign when you ran for mayor about this need for tax relief, particularly in the older parts of Wyandotte County that really haven't seen much relief in recent years. What's the hope the government can do more to help those folks of your community out a little bit more?
Well, tax relief is directly related to being able to control costs and grow revenue. And so we've done a good job growing revenue. The Legends represents 10% of our total valuation right now. That's huge. The build out of General Motors. General Motors is our largest taxpayer, and these manufacturing jobs coming in continue to pay taxes. So we're growing the revenue side. The part that we need to continue to work on is cost cutting. We did have great success with all of our departments in terms of holding the line on costs through this recession. But as I noted in my state of the, in the state of the government address, since 2006 to 2013, our fund balance has dropped 80%. That's not sustainable. And our
fund balance, your surplus?
Our general fund balance has dropped 80%. All other departments except public safety, we've held the line to about a 1.7% overall increase in that time period.
Right.
But public safety continues. And while we have the best public safety, frankly, I would hold it up to anybody in the region and anywhere in the country. Best fire response time. We have the lowest crime rate in 40 years. We have some of the right people in jail. But we're busting at the seams in our jail. We have seen increases in public safety. Our police is up 15%. Our fire is up 33%. Our sheriff is up 54%. That's just not a sustainable trajectory. And so the biggest threat, and I said this in my address yesterday, the biggest threat to our public safety is that we are not on a sustainable path that's going to allow us to maintain that excellent service. And so we're going to need to look, and I likened it to the partnership between the United Auto Workers and General Motors, and how they came together. They didn't compromise quality cars. They're still building the best cars in America. They didn't compromise the pay of the workers. I mean, they certainly had to rework some of the benefits, but they didn't compromise excellence or safety. What they did is they came together and said, we're not on a sustainable trajectory, and how can we partner together? That caliber of partner is what it's going to take. I think we're going to get it. I think people are understand it, and I think it's a great opportunity for us, because if we're going to cut taxes, we're not going to be able to cut taxes with our public safety averaging about a 40% increase overall. That's just not going to be sustainable long term.
You weren't mayor very long last year when there was a fight on the Unified Government Commission over replacing a vacant 1st District seat representative. The commission deadlocked 5-5 between Don Budd and Nathan Barnes. And I noticed last night, Mayor, that the seat is still vacant all these months later. You guys can't break that deadlock?
Well, that's a good question. You know, hindsight's 20/20. I don't know how yours is.
It's the best kind of hindsight.
No, it is the
best kind of vision you got. It's hindsight. Yeah.
You know, we came out of the election, and the election was heated and passionate. I thought it was respectful, and I thought it was a quality election cycle. You know, I have a respect for Commissioner Merguia. I thought we ran a fair and balanced campaign. But when we came out of that campaign, within the next literally 2 weeks, we worked to try to fill my seat. And
that's right. It's your vacancy.
It's my vacancy. And hindsight, I would have just waited 90 days. But I, you know, we let us get through the budget, let us work on things. Because by the time the budget came in July and August, we had a unanimous vote for the budget, unanimous vote to support the downtown community center for a $6 million investment in a community center that's going to be run by the Y. I mean, we've come a long way, and we've actually had very successful votes for the rest of the time. But coming out of the campaign, this is my estimation, and you know, someone else might have a different perspective. I think the campaign camps continued into that vote, and if we had had some time to let that kind of dissipate and get back on track, because we're all working together right now, we're doing a good job.
But it's been 6 months.
Yeah, and I think the biggest issue I think the biggest issue is it's an at-large position.
Yeah.
I think if it were in district, I think there'd be a real outcry. Now, there's been an outcry. I mean, there's been a relatively small outcry.
This person's elected city countywide.
It's countywide.
As opposed to one of the districts inside the county.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think if it were one district feeling like they weren't being represented, I think there'd be a lot more upset about it. And I've just not heard a will. I actually made the motion in the summer to set the two candidates that we deadlocked with aside and look at the other 15 candidates who were qualified to choose someone else. And that vote failed 7-2.
Yeah.
So there's not been a willingness to move forward. And so we are where we are.
Has it caused problems with votes or not?
Well, no, I think that was our only 5-5 vote we've had.
Okay. Another issue involving one of your commissioners, Mayor, Commissioner Terrence Maddox, was caught on video. Again, Channel 41 had this tape. This time he was making threats to an employee at a Kansas City, Kansas gas station. It showed a video that 41 Action News obtained showed Maddox entering the BP gas station at 5th and Minnesota in late January. And Maddox was caught saying this: "Let me give you a message," he told the cashier. "Tell him the commissioner said if he does not call me, I'm going to get an inspector down here to talk to him. I'm going to require him to have a security guard overnight, and he'll have to pay for it. Tell him that." And the cashier responded, "It sounds like you're making a threat." What's going to be the ramification of this incident for Commissioner Terrence Maddox going forward?
Well, I've just seen the news. I saw the news last night. I think it's under review. Our Ethics Commission is taking a look at it. It comes back to, Steve, what I said at the top of the hour, which was the prayer we learned in elementary school, the Serenity Prayer.
Yeah.
Lord, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I think there's so many things that happen in the public and around the community that I think the best thing I can do as a mayor is keep us focused and on task with economic development, innovation, healthy communities, because those are the things that I can control and I can help move forward that I feel really good about.
Can the commission reprimand Commissioner Maddox over something like this? Is that within the purview of the commission?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
And to what end?
Well, that's up to you to decide. Is that something you're going to look at, or is that not something that's on the table here?
Again, there's checks and balances. You know, it's our civics lesson in terms of who people are accountable to. They're certainly accountable to the public,
yeah. And
they're certainly accountable to the court. And I think those are accountable to the Ethics Commission.
Okay. Mayor Mark Holland, always good to have you here. Thanks for taking some time.
You bet. Thank you for having me, and I appreciate the opportunity. Great things happening in Kansas City, Kansas.
You bet. Coming up, our latest installment of 90 Mile View.